Many people are drawn to high places. Over the centuries, humankind has climbed trees and mountaintops to look down on the world from a place in which the air seems cleaner and sweeter, the sun sharper, and the view more commanding. Actually, the air is thinner, not necessarily sweeter, because it holds less oxygen, and it's hardly cleaner in, say, Mexico City, where 18 million people live congested lives at 7,200 feet. One of the most elevated, if you please, populated places in the United States is Flagstaff, Arizona, where about 60,000 people live 7,000 feet up in the mountains of northern Arizona. Denver, by contrast, may be the mile-high city, but that's almost 2,000 feet lower than Flagstaff. The folks in Flagstaff have had to learn how to live differently than other people in the United States, a rarefied life in which they make accommodations to accomplish the ordinary, bake a cake, kick a ball, or play music.
I can't play quite as long a phrase up here as I can at lower altitudes. You definitely have to plan more breaths.
Rebecca Scarnati is the principal oboist with the Flagstaff Symphony Orchestra. The altitude is a particular vexation for players of wind instruments, who need, of course, wind to give voice to their instruments, and players of reed instruments, like the oboe. Because there's less air pressure at 7,000 feet, reeds made at sea level vibrate differently. Some might not make a sound at all.
We have to adjust a tremendous amount according to the barometric pressure. Our reeds change when the barometric pressure changes. And, of course, it changes rather dramatically when you come up to 7,000 feet. And you also have to kind of learn how to make a reed all over again.
Miss Scarnati, in fact, keeps two sets of reeds ready for play, one to take on tour throughout the rest of the world and a separate group for Flagstaff, which might only be useful also in, say, La Paz, Bolivia, which is at 12,000 feet. Two years ago, the Arizona Opera Company performed Wagner's The Ring Cycle in Flagstaff, a thunderous piece partly set in hellish flames that must have been held to play so high up, especially for flute and tuba players who need the most wind to propel their music.
Actually, this was the highest ring cycle ever performed at 7,000 feet.
Until, of course, the Vienna Philharmonic plays it aboard the Mir spacecraft. Robert Baldwin, acting artistic director of the Flagstaff Symphony, was the principal violist for the Ring Cycle. Almost all the other musicians, he explains, were from L.A., what locals call the lower altitudes, what we might call the rest of the world. Mr. Baldwin, long acclimatized to Flagstaff, held up well during the performance, but his colleagues...
I did notice several times the horn players and the people playing the Wagner tubas and such really looked fatigued in the pit.
To see people sort of gasping and flustered, I'm almost guessing that, I don't know, it goes with the music. It might add a note of drama somehow.
Somewhat, and yeah. I think it did with our conductor as well, Stefan Minda, who's a fabulous Wagnerian conductor. He would look totally drained at the end of an act, and added actually quite a bit to the fact that he was up on a very high podium, and it was like he was climbing a mountain to get there.
Some basic physics might be useful here. The air is thinner the higher we go in elevation because there is less pressure from the atmosphere, therefore fewer molecules of oxygen. People who arrive in Flagstaff from lower altitudes are breathing a lower concentration of oxygen than they usually do. There is enough to keep them going, but at first they tend to breathe deeper and faster, which uses up fluids and can make a person dehydrated. Imagine a person's lungs to be a bag of potato chips. No, seriously, folks.
Well, this is a puffy bag of actually
yes.
French onion sun chips.
Yes, and it's just almost ready to pop.
Mark Logan manages a Safeway in Flagstaff. He moved 2 years ago from Oklahoma and noticed the potato chip, corn chip, and pretzel bags bulging in his aisles in Flagstaff because the air packed into the bags at lower elevations expands at 7,000 feet. Now, human beings, of course, are marvelously adaptable, but most supermarket packaging is less so. Mr. Logan found the most graphic example of puffed-up inventory popping their tops in his freezer.
Oh, my gosh, look at that.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you've got those huge vats of Neapolitan ice cream, and just eyeballing it, two or three of them have to be destroyed.
Yes, that's correct. You can just see where it's just ripped the seal right apart, and it's just expanded inside the package.
That can cut into a guy's overhead, isn't it?
Yes, it could.
Throw out tubs of ice cream.
Yes, it could.
Were you expecting this when you came to Flagstaff? You'd have to become an expert in key lime ice cream bloat?
No, I didn't even realize when I got the assignment, I didn't even realize what altitude the store was at. And it's been an adjustment for me, but I really enjoy Flagstaff. I think it's a great place to live.
About 100 times a day, a train pulls through downtown Flagstaff, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway, along the same lines in which the legendary Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe opened the West for millions of American visitors, many of whom stayed and became settlers. From the tracks, you can look up into the purple crags of the San Francisco Peaks, the highest point in Arizona, ask residents why they came here, and many gesture up at those peaks and speak of their love of hiking, climbing, and wandering amid the mountains. Each body makes its own adjustment, but some adjustments are harder than others. At a coffee shop near the train tracks downtown, we met Barbara Zollner, who's lived in Flagstaff for 11 years and has developed a delightful way to entertain visitors.
Well, mostly we have a lot of fun when people come to visit us,
yeah,
and they're in really good shape from other parts of the country,
yeah,
and we'll take them on a walk, yeah, and after about a half a mile, they're sitting down and asking for water, and, you know.
Way to go.
When you're out of shape at 7,000 feet, you can make people who are in shape at sea level feel really pitiful.
Yeah.
The emergency room of the Flagstaff Medical Center is usually as quiet and clean as the community. There's little ER-style gore or gunshot cases. But because this is one of the medical facilities closest to the Grand Canyon, which hosts millions of visitors each year, Dr. Don Johnson, no relation to the actor, says he sees quite a few out-of-towners with altitude aggravations.
Shortness of breath. Some people get chest pain. Some people get headaches. Frequently, they complain of just feeling uncomfortable in a non-specific way, which is really a difficult thing to pursue.
Oxygen will revive most patients, says Dr. Johnson.
And then for some people who are a little bit iffy to begin with, either borderline cardiac function, borderline pulmonary function, and they may not even know it, this functions almost like a stress test. And so if they're visitors, you may get, that's their side benefit of their vacation, is that they've had a light go on saying they need to be looked at further when they get home.
We met a lovely, gentle, white-haired woman at rest on a hospital cart. Oxygen tubes were running into her nose. 77-year-old Virginia Dickerson was visiting from San Francisco in the lower altitudes.
I had had a heart attack previously.
Uh-huh. May I ask
what? And I feel lousy.
Oh, well, I'm sure we're helping. May I ask what your symptoms are?
Extreme fatigue.
Yeah.
Breathless. Nausea. And I absolutely seem to be unable to do anything but sleep.
Ms. Dickerson was given oxygen and released. She may be among a number of people who can never quite stop gasping in Flagstaff. This season, the quarterback coach of the Northern Arizona University Lumberjacks resigned after just a week on the job, outplayed by the elevation. For some time now, athletes and trainers have believed that increasing the production of red blood cells to deliver more oxygen to the muscles can make an athlete run, skate, or swim faster. One way to accomplish this is to remove a liter of blood. This stimulates the body to produce more red cells. If you re-inject the missing liter, the recipient gets more oxygen yet. This is called blood doping, and it's illegal in competition. But there is nothing illegal about bringing athletes up to an altitude that will also tickle their red blood cell count. In 1994, the High Altitude Sports Training Complex was created on the campus of Northern Arizona University. Though sticklers contend the name's a misnomer, because high altitude, despite all jokes about the Canadian snowboarding team, doesn't really begin until at least 8,000 feet. Dr. Richard Borden is director of the complex.
Actually, we are one of those unique places of 7,000 feet. If you go below 7,000 feet or 6,800 feet, the physiological adaptations are not as dramatic. If you go above 8,000 feet, there's not enough oxygen for you to train.
The day we visited the Italian national swim team was the latest in an assemblage of international athletes who trained in Flagstaff, struggling for that extra fraction of a second that may be gained from an extra red corpus. 19-year-old Rosalino Massimiliano stepped lithely from the pool and drippingly told us the first 10 days of training are the hardest.
Then you get a little bit used to it, but it's always hard.
So you're convinced this helps you?
Yes, I've already tried it once, and I did have good results.
What happened the last time?
Well, the last time that I did it, I went to the Olympics, and I'd say I did get my personal best down of a second in a month, so I'd say that's pretty good.
Mr. Massimiliano won the silver medal in the men's 200-meter freestyle in the World Championships in Perth, Australia, where he obviously also acquired a bit of an accent. German speed skater Gunde Niemann-Sternemann, who is also trained in Flagstaff, won a gold medal and two silvers at the recent Winter Olympics. 57 medals were awarded to competitors who trained in Flagstaff for the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. But was that training the cause or a coincidence? Some experts feel that those who train in Flagstaff may run, skate, or swim better just because the facility in Flagstaff is so superbly equipped, and athletes can train there with increased concentration. In any event, the race must be run not only swiftly, but shortly after they come down from Flagstaff. The red blood cell count will return to normal within a month's time. Flagstaff residents often report that when they drive down to Phoenix or fly over to Los Angeles, they arrive feeling like Superman. If they stay a few weeks, they begin to feel a bit like Superman cowering before a glowing green rock of kryptonite. They become merely normal. The effect of altitude can be seen and felt in other ways. There's a sign that taunts visiting teams inside the Northern Arizona University Sky Dome, home of the Lumberjacks. In bold black letters, it blares, "Welcome to Flagstaff, 7,000 feet. Catch your breath." While the altitude may make visiting teams wheeze a bit in the fourth quarter, a kicked or passed football will travel faster and farther in the thin air of the Sky Dome. Junior Jason House kicks for the Lumberjacks. What's it like for your kicks?
The ball floats a lot more. It's like hitting a golf ball. You kick a 45-yarder in Phoenix, you're going to kick a 55-yarder here.
That sounds pretty good in your line of work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it works good. That's why everybody wants to come here.
But pro football scouts know that arithmetic, too, and discount record kicks in Flagstaff as altitude inflated. The Northern Arizona University Lumberjacks lost only one home game this year and won five, but they lost four games away from home at lower elevations, where their red blood cells should have been abloom. So athleticism may still count for more than altitude. But the most conspicuous everyday adjustment people in Flagstaff have to make is in the kitchen. Something as simple as boiling water, which boils quicker in Flagstaff and at a lower temperature because there's less air pressure.
Water boils at 198 degrees at 7,000 foot elevation. At sea level, it boils at 212. That's a difference of 14 degrees.
Beth Tucker teaches a high-altitude cooking class downtown.
Well, have you had a cup of coffee today?
Several, yeah.
It's not as hot as you would find
Absolutely,
at sea
yes.
level. So simple things like that are affected.
Simple things, like boiling spaghetti and cooking beans, takes longer. Baking is also complicated. Because there's less air pressure, there's less to slow down. The rising activity in leavening agents, like baking powder and baking soda. So a lot of old family recipes will just fall flat in Flagstaff.
A lot of people move to Flagstaff from elsewhere in the country.
Right.
So it's possible that somebody moves here from Columbus, Ohio, and has an old family recipe for kugel.
Right.
And they get here, and it just doesn't work.
Right. That's very common. You remind me of a very poignant story of a woman that attended one of my classes. She had been in a family of caterers at a low elevation, and she moved to Flagstaff with this box of tested recipes, favorite recipes, and she lived here for a while and tried her recipes and got real discouraged and threw them out.
Which, says Ms. Tucker, is not necessary. Adjusting the amount of leavening and increasing the oven temperature usually helps. So does lowering expectation. Flagstaff will always be better territory for flat, crisp cookies than for high-rising meringue pies.
First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check the timing.
Auto mechanics in Flagstaff also have to adjust for altitude.
We get a lot of people coming in here, and they says, ever since I moved up here, my car just runs terrible.
Don Nyland says most new cars are made with computer chips that can eventually adjust for altitude, but many older models have to be fine-tuned to actually reduce the flow of fuel to balance out the lower level of oxygen reaching the engine.
This is a 1980 Camaro that we're dealing with here. It has no idea where it's at, so we have to change everything for it.
Do you think the car guys would know how to do this?
The who?
Clearly, a sophisticated man. Pilots who must pay urgent attention to altitude also have to compensate.
Okay, the instruments are all set. Everything is good. Green.
Less air goes into the engine and over the wings, which makes the airplane less efficient a flying machine. Martin Merriman, a volunteer aviation safety counselor for the Federal Aviation Administration, says that passengers sometimes wonder why their planes take off from Flagstaff with several open seats. At the city's elevation, says Mr. Merriman, you have to carry a lighter load because you need more speed just to take off.
Now, notice how slowly it accelerates. See, it's going to take a bit to get the airspeed up. At sea level, we would be off right here.
And you need a longer runway. If you're fortunate enough to fly above Walnut Canyon, the Painted Desert, and Sunset Crater, you might see better in the crisp mountain climate how Flagstaff is one more American place that points to the amazing diversity of the United States. From the mountains to the prairies is a phrase that seems to take on life when you can look down and see Flagstaff nestled in at the base of a mountain. Lift your head and see in the distance vast flatlands and deserts, too. Like San Franciscans who grow fond of fog, Chicagoans who are proud of cold, or New Yorkers who boast about the bustle in their streets, people in Flagstaff know they live in a place where potato chip bags bulge, engines gasp, and footballs fly. A place that is not for everyone. A place like no other. Our story was produced by Cindy Carpian, with assistance from Patty Arias, Matt Martinez, and engineered by Dave Reek at member station KNAU in Flagstaff. Excerpts from The Ring Cycle were provided by the KBAQ production studio at Arizona State University.